Alright, so there was a when Maureen LaRue came and visited with Kenny, there was a vision that she had for the church, and subsequent to that, there have been many other visions along these lines concerning fruitfulness. And so in our next series that we're going to be preaching in the church, we're going to preach about fruitfulness. How does this actually look in a Christian's life? And so Maureen had this picture for us, and I want to read it out, and I want to read some other scriptures, and I want to speak around this area of fruitfulness, because what we do in 2020 needs to reflect that which God has told us to do. See, God doesn't just speak to keep us busy. He doesn't just speak because He wants to tell us something nice. He tells us something so that we know the way forward. That's why He speaks. That's why it's prophetic, because it's something about seeing the future, preparing for the future, and becoming the future. And so that's what being a prophetic people is. And so we're an apostolic prophetic people. We see the future. We see where God is taking us. And because God is taking us beyond our borders because of the Great Commission, we prepare for that. We raise up leaders. We equip leaders. We like to send people out. It's not just about reaching Quesnel and our neighbors. It is about that, but it's not just about that. It's neighborhoods and nations. And so God expands our vision. As I said a little bit earlier, is that we get our vision before we get the provision. We see that throughout Scripture, is that there's a vision. This is what I want you to do, but how? Well, go and I'll supply it to you. And throughout Scripture, especially in the Old Testament, God would give an instruction. And the man of God would say, well, how do I do this? He says, just go and do it. And then you do it. How do I walk on water? I don't know. Just step out of the boat. And then God will take care of the rest. There's a fine line between faith and presumption. We get that. And make sure that we hear God and then we step out. And so I want to reiterate some of the words that we've received as a church. We take them seriously. As an eldership team, we pray over these things. We present them as vision to the church and say, follow us as we follow Jesus because He's spoken to us. All right. And then every one of you has a flavor to see this thing fulfilled. It's not just about just cheering on whoever it is in the front. Yeah, go boy, you can do it. So let's get there and do it together. So this was Maureen's vision that she saw for us as a church. She says, I saw a picture of a huge big oak tree. I felt that this is a season this church is going into. God has taken you from a season of strengthening the roots. We've even seen some of that in the finance. We've seen some of that in the numbers. Is that the church is fuller than what it has been before. And there's more people, there's more resources. The ability to impact more areas has grown. We don't grow big churches for the big church's sake. It's not just about putting bums in chairs. It's not about that. It's about training up an army to reach the world for Jesus. God has taken you from a season of strengthening the roots, like we see on this picture. I had a picture of roots going down deep, resulting in a strengthening of the life of the church. Because of the past season of strengthening the roots and the fact that there was an underground work happening, God wants to take this church into a season where there will now be a visible work of God. You're going to see the fruit of the oak tree, where it is going to spread its branches wide for people to come and sit under. There will be fruit for people to pick. The three areas I felt God wanted to release fruit are, and Maureen was very specific about this, and I think it's this and more. First of all, the area of provision. In other words, provision. Provision financially, provision with people and gifts and talents. In the area of healing, the supernatural work of God. Now friends, what happens is that when somebody comes and they bring a prophetic word, we say, God has spoken, what are we going to do about that? The next time somebody is sick in your life group, remember what God has said, this is going to be a season of fruitfulness, where we're going to pray for healing and miraculous work of God, and people will be healed. Not that they weren't healed before, but sometimes there's seasons where there's a wave of God moving through the life of a church. And so we look forward in anticipation. We say, God, give me opportunity to pray for people, to see you working in miraculous ways. The supernatural work of God, where there is no explanation for it. And then finally, the area of faith exploits, where you will have faith to take great giant steps and leaps of faith into what God has for you. Provision, healing, and faith, fruitfulness. I felt the whole time we've been here, it's a season for fruit. It's a season to step out in faith and show evidence of the workings of God in your midst. More and more you're going to see the evidence of God working on your behalf. It's going to be established the credibility of the church to a far greater level of influence. And you need to trust for that and have faith for that. Let me pause there for a moment. The credibility of the church as a representative of who Jesus Christ is. Not the credibility of somebody who laid hands on somebody else and they got healed so they can start their own ministry. So Tyler then has some terminal disease. He doesn't, but just say he did. And he comes to the front there and the doctors have confirmed this man's got 2 months to live and everything else. And I go and I lay my hands on him and I pray for him and he goes back to the doctor and it's healed completely. Now I think, man, this is my moment. This is my moment. And I print my business cards, Brian Dean Ministries. Because I prayed for him and he got healed. Surely God is working through me. Surely this gift needs to be passed on to the rest of the world. That's rubbish. That's rubbish. We don't operate like that. It's about the credibility of who Jesus Christ is and that he works through ordinary people like you and like me to bring about the extraordinary. And I think that's the key to it. Is that it's about us working together to see a fruitfulness that'll actually point people to Jesus because he's the one that brings the fruitfulness. He's the one that allows these roots to grow. We just need to hear what he says and be faithful to that. And so it's the credibility of the church, the credibility of who we represent. That is the evidence of things to come and the start of things to come. Trust God for the fruit. Shortly after that, I got another prophecy from a lady and some of you all know Christina Bright. Now, her mom gave this, and it was very long, but I've summarized it. And it was a vision of a tree. There you go. And there were flowers blooming on the tree. And there was a fruitfulness coming, and the flowers started to change color. The first one was to do with compassion, and the second one was to do with purpose. And these flowers started leaving the tree and going all around the world. And some of them were turning into people and there was armor on them and they were given horses to ride and they were reaching the lost, but they were also pushing back the powers of darkness. And there were children in picture frames, in four different frames in every season, of the year. And so every season there were children, they were playing, they were growing. And then above that was a big frame and it encompassed all four frames and it spoke about a maturity and saying that there's some of you that are in the first season of your walk with God and there are some of you in the second, third and fourth season in your walk with God. Some of you are mature Christians. Some of you are immature Christians. You're still growing. You might have got saved last week or the week before and you've still got lots to learn. But in the bigger frame, in the bigger picture, there's actually a role for every single one of us to play. You don't need to wait until you've reached the season of maturity where you're now a somber, mature Christian and your eyebrows are always down and now you can do stuff for Jesus. No. The day you get saved, you're a step ahead of the person that's not saved yet. You can tell them your testimony. And there's a role for each and every one of us to play in this. And the final part of that whole vision was that every single person that had been out and around the world and riding their horse and with their armor on and everything else was sitting at the marriage feast of the Lamb and they had a ring on their finger and it was an amazing final picture of all of this is that there will be one day for us in glory a uniting with Jesus at the marriage feast. And so that was a confirmation of that. And then Isaiah 27. Just hear what God's saying. Just hear what God's saying to you today through these words. Maybe there's one thing that you pick up and then you can get on board with this vision. Isaiah 27 verse 2 to 6 says, in that day, sing about a fruitful vineyard. I, the Lord, watch over it. I, the Lord, watch over it. It's not for us to watch over it. We are faithful with what he has given us. He watches over his vineyard. I water it continually. Allow the Holy Spirit to water your heart as well. Spend time with him. If you're feeling dry, spend time with the Lord. Sometimes we're feeling dry and we say, I just need some me time. I need some him time. Sometimes by yourself, for sure. I guard it day and night so that no one may harm it. I am not angry. If only there were briars and thorns confronting me, I would march against them in battle. I would set them all on fire. Even those things that come against us, God says, I will march against them. I will fight your battles for you. So even in a vision like this where we say, Lord, this is what we believe you're calling us to for the year. Sometimes there's something that comes against us. We say, but God has said he will fight on our behalf. Let's keep pushing on because God has spoken. Or else let them come to me for refuge. Let them make peace with me. Yes, let them make peace with me. In the day to come, Jacob will take root. Israel will bud and blossom and fill all the world with its fruit. It's amazing how God speaks through so many different areas and speaking about the same thing. So for many of us, we think to ourselves, I was hoping my voice lasts till the end, eh? I'll just do whatever. We think to ourselves that I've mentioned this before, is that there's some Christians that kind of float off the ground, and they're like, you know, and there's others that are like soldiers and they march and so on, and they're all required, they're all necessary for the job done. But I want to say that in both of those cases, is that if you are one of those that soldier on, must understand that it's not all about wineskin. It's not all about just getting the job done. It's also primarily about a relationship with Jesus. It's about being full of the Spirit. It's about moving in the gifts of the Spirit. It's about blessing others, about reaching out a hand of compassion. For those that are all about just hearing the Word of God and singing songs and waving flags and everything else, like Tracy, and Tracy's pretty grounded, let me tell you. But understand that the river has banks. To have the wine without a wineskin is no good. See, the river has been given banks. And so I want to read a few scriptures around that to say that both are required. It's the Spirit and the Word. It's not just the Word, it's not just the Spirit. It has to be both. And so as we see this vision unfold in the year, it's about saying that how do we administer this grace of God that He's given us without taking control of it, but without letting it become a swamp, as we see in the scripture I'm going to read now. And so Ezekiel 47, verse 1 to 12, and I'm going to read about 4 or 5 scriptures here. Matt, I won't make you say that again. Just come read the scripture for me. Just from there to healing. Yeah.
Where?
To where?
Over there.
To the end.
Okay.
The man brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. Oh, that doesn't work. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. He then brought me out through the north gate and led me around the outside to the outer gate facing east. And the water was flowing from the south side. As the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits and then led me through water that was ankle deep. He measured off another 1,000 cubits and led me through water that was knee deep. He measured off another 1,000 and led me through water that was up to the waist. He measured off another 1,000, but now it was a river that I could not cross because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in a river that no one could cross. He asked me, "Son of man, do you see this?" Then he led me back to the bank of the river. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. He said to me, "This water flows toward the eastern region and goes down to the Arabah, where it enters the sea. When it empties into the sea, the water there becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be large numbers of fish because this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. Fishermen will stand along the shore. From En-Gedi to En-Eglaim, there will be places for spreading nets. The fish will be of many kinds, like the fish of the great sea. But the swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They will be left for salt. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear, because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food and their leaves for healing."
It's amazing that we hear a scripture like going into the river, you know, ankle deep, knee deep, and just dive into the river and all of that. And it's good. And we need to do that. And we see a picture of the life of God flowing from His presence, which is represented in the throne. And then we see that there's river banks, because the banks take the glory of God to where it's required. And that's why the grace of God, the power of God is administered and it's led, and there are banks and there are things in place that sometimes we don't really like too much, but we see a pattern of that in Scripture. And not only in that picture, if we have a look at Paul's writing to the Philippians, and I'm going to go through these quickly, otherwise we're going to be stuck on these things. But Philippians 3, verse 10 says, I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death. 7 verses later, he writes, join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave them. It's the power and the pattern. See, Paul says, I want to know the power of Christ, but I've given you a pattern as well. So it's the power, but there is a pattern. There is God's will, but there's also God's way. God does have a way. It was God's will that He save a people for Himself. The way He did it was He got Noah to build an ark. God has a will to do certain things, but there is a way as well that we seek out. In Luke chapter 5, Jesus said, no one pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins and the wine will run out and the wineskins will be ruined. New wine must be poured into new wineskins. And no one after drinking old wine wants the new, for he says the old is better. So he's saying that you have to have the wineskin fitting for the wine. You can't just have the wine by itself. A wineskin without wine is just a piece of leather. So you've got to have both. There has to be both of these, one to contain the other. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul writing to the church in Thessalonica, he says, our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord in spite of severe suffering. You welcomed the message of the joy given by the Holy Spirit, and so you became a model to the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. There's a message and there's a model. There is a message, and the message is the good news of Jesus Christ. But there is also a model. And when we speak about church model, people say, I don't want to hear about that. We just want to get together, clap hands, sing songs, and get people saved. No, actually, the Bible speaks to us about elders. It speaks to us about deacons, the qualifications. How do I do that? Why do I do that? Why is it important? Because God has a will and He also has a way. That there is a message, but there's also a model. There is power, but there's also a pattern. There is a river, but there are also banks. Both are actually required. It's the Word and the Spirit. Both sides of the coin are very important. And so, even when we have a look forward, and we have a look at the vision God has given us, understand that we need to administer that. We need to put it onto a calendar. We need to get a date where we get together and we actually do the things that we want to do. And it's not just another meeting. It's a gathering to see the fulfilling of a vision so that we can diarize it and actually do it together. That's the definition of a meeting. But a meeting just sounds horrible. The church needs the wine of God. We long to see it. We long to see a great release of joy and power and life. Great release of the presence of God, of the miraculous, of healings. Signs and wonders, the giftings, the river of life flowing in and through each and every one of us to a dry and thirsty world. God's healing and restoring and anointing presence. Not only in our meetings, but in our life as well. Especially in our life. If it was only here, then that would just be for ourselves. And we receive so that we can give. And yet a river with no banks becomes a marsh. We saw that. Power without direction, it dissipates and it becomes ineffective. Wine without a wineskin will spill out. A message without a model becomes directionless. Even next to the river, sometimes we look at the banks and we see the banks are so boring and dry. But even on the banks, there were trees growing on the banks. The fishermen stood on the banks so they could catch the fish. The church is concerned with seeing the kingdom advance. We don't want to become preoccupied only with one, and not the other. Everything in the church, the structure we have, the programs we do, the leadership should work towards sustaining the flow of the new wine, the fruit, the miracles, the healings, and the faith exploits that God has promised us. So when we administer, it's administered to bring life, not to kill. And so we want to bring a freedom in an orderly way. Does that make sense? So it goes in a direction. That's why the gun has a barrel, so it can actually go somewhere. It's just all over the place.